SiriusXM Sports presents
At the Races with Steve Bick.
Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three at the races here on SiriusXM, and happy to get into a handicapping, basically a handicapping dash to the wire. We've got one or the other, either, or now we have both, I think. Wanted to get Scully and DeRosa, and we'll do the always exciting ping-ponging. And, of course, Ed back from New Orleans. We'll get the final. I didn't get to. You know, Jay was so good. I one thing I didn't ask him today was how his last dinners at New Orleans shook out. Who we got, Case? Both? You got both Scully and DeRosa. Let's say hi to Ed first.
Hello,
Ed. What was your final? You told me where you had reservations, and I forgot.
Cash.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Nice.
Yeah, we had the full redfish. Thankfully, one of my dining companions was willing to split that with me, and absolutely delicious. And accompaniments and service hit the mark as well, and would hardly recommend anyone in the Crescent City.
Well, it's lucky that you were even hungry for dinner after I sent you to Houdat Cafe and tell everybody about those corn cakes.
Yeah, well, and I went to Houdat on Saturday morning, so that was the day after. So thankfully, thankfully I did that after dinner because I barely had to eat lunch, in all seriousness, on Louisiana Derby Day. But yeah, corn cakes, delicious. It's definitely a strong impression because I kind of likened it to a breakfast hot brown. You know, comes out baked in the cheese. The bacon, but it was fantastic. Didn't need any sort of hot sauce, although I did try some just because I like to see how heat adds or enhances flavor, and that was fine. But really, the dish totally stood on its own. Great neighborhood spot, good coffee. You were spot on. I appreciate the recommendation.
No, I'm glad you went. Tina had a chicken fried steak, which she gave me a little bite of, which was phenomenal. The very cool place, and in the Marigny neighborhood, and we walked from Jackson Square. We were staying at the Polydraw apartment, the famous first apartment building in America, essentially, and we walked all the way to Marigny, which was really cool. I'm glad we did it, and I'm glad you went. James Scully, I can hear you back there somewhere.
Yeah, good morning, Steve. Thanks for having me on.
Not at all. Let's dive into the weekend. Actually, James, very quickly, the Kentucky Derby report is up for everybody at Prisnet and Twin Spires. Give everybody a quick survey of what you thought of Louisiana Derby and Sunland.
Yeah, I thought the top two in both races, Louisiana Derby and Sunland Derby, distinguished themselves by my standards, and Spinoff are both progressing types, especially by my standards. It just broke his maiden. I still think they're a little bit below, the top Derby contenders right now. I think that second division of the Rebel was the best prep of the year so far, with Omaha Beach and Gunrunner, Game Winner. But the potential's there for them to continue to progress and keep moving forward. Same thing in Sunland. I came away, I think Cutting Humor is a nice horse. I'm a little bit worried about him in a mile and a quarter, being Phone Trick in there as his second dam sire. Another twist of fate after three races on the synthetic track, which we won by like 25 combined lengths. Really took the dirt, I thought. Had a little bit of a rough trip. Liked how he was finishing. And, Scat Daddy colt with, really plenty of potential upside.
Very nice. Ed, you got to see it up close, and the celebration in the winner's circle in particular was entertaining. We had Brett Calhoun on Monday. Your thoughts about the two stake winners and the rest of the fields?
Yeah, I mostly agree with James. I thought, in a year where maybe we're kind of waiting for some breakout next-level performances, I think we've gotten those the last 2 weeks and expecting more of the same tomorrow at Gulfstream from at least some of the contenders. But I thought both the top two in the Louisiana Derby, pretty tenacious. Those were the type of races I think could play well in Louisville on May 4th. Maybe prefer the runner-up a little bit, just, based on where he was coming from in the shipping. And I just experienced it, just felt maybe there was a little more upside there. And we'll see where the prices shake out. But I wouldn't discount either one if the bettors dismiss Louisiana Derby. So, I thought the top two, and to speak to the winner's circle celebration between Gabriel Saez, he was over the moon, as you would expect, and the owner. I've heard tell of his Mardi Gras parties, and it sounds like he's bringing it to Louisville for the Derby. So very much looking forward to him adding some spice to the mix.
In a big way. And the Sunland result?
Yeah, always another twist of fate is sort of my cagey pick with Galilean not winning the Rebel. I thought he ran well enough that I elevated him, not necessarily because I think he's the most likely winner, Steve, but with that future wager coming up, I just kind of wanted to telegraph to people that I think he might be, worth a play at, say, 30-1 in the future wager. I just see him as a contender. He's run some fast races. He's shown an ability to run on multiple surfaces, and just excited for him as a long shot prospect in Louisville.
I completely agree, and I've made it as apparent as I can in the conversations we've had with Blaine Wright. I think there's a lot to like about this horse, and given his versatility and having already proven himself on the synthetic surface, chances are he is going to love Churchill, and getting over it, that'll be the next the next thing to take into consideration when we get to watch him work. Going to turn our attention to the weekend, and because, of course, it's Dubai World Cup tomorrow, I suppose Kelly Riley and Vance Hansen come into focus on the website.
Yeah, 100%. Kelly especially, definitely digging into that international form. And we have, I don't want to say rare World Cup, but, certainly the Americans are prominent and getting some pub. But, the international horses for a change, probably the top contenders in Thunder Snow in North America. So this is a key instance where, I think her input and thoughts are especially valuable because you're not as familiar with those horses. And, of course, looking forward to seeing Almondai shipping west from Dubai, to Dubai from Japan. And a lot of good races, and we got a fun promo up. You may notice it's very similar to the Plinko game on the Price is Right. So Bethany having some fun with getting people involved. Encourage people to check that out. It's once fires if they're betting the card.
Very cool. You got any opinion that you want to slip out?
I don't. I'm not sure if James does. Just looking forward to seeing the races play out for sure.
James, what do you got? Anything?
I don't think it's that strong a field per se. And having watched Divine Image, I really like that filly. I expect her to run another big race. She's going to sit right off the early leaders and look to pounce. And looks like, it'll be interesting to watch how the betting goes over here with these American horses in it. I think there's some potential for her odds to be lower overseas than it is in American pools.
Very good. So UAE Derby, Divine Image, the filly for James. Let's talk about the Florida card. And James started off. We'll work back and forth off your lead. Let's start with the Florida Derby.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, drawing the rail perhaps wasn't the best thing for Hidden Scroll. But one thing about the race that just stands out is that there's a lot less pace, it looks like, on paper than there was in that Fountain of Youth. And he broke from the rail in his debut. I expect him to get out of there. Just don't want to see him too eager you know, if he settles on the lead, that would be a perfect trip. He's my top pick. I don't think they're going to beat him in there. I'll be looking at playing some straight exactas. I think there's the real potential for Maximum Security to set up shop at second and just track him all the way around the track. And the other horse I would use underneath is Harvey Wallbanger. His race came back on our BrisNet numbers as fast as the Found the Youth did. You know, I think he had some talent early on. He was thought of highly. His last couple races at two weren't fast. But to me, that Found the Youth was a real encouraging effort to move forward for a Harvey Wallbanger.
Ed?
I'm struggling with you know, how I'm going to ultimately play this. You know, we'll see where the board shakes out. I will say from a Kentucky Derby perspective, and I already alluded to the future wager coming up and maybe another Twist of Fate being attractive, but I kind of have a scenario in my head, Steve, with this race where Hidden Squirrel runs off the screen and just takes a beating in the future pool and on Derby Day for that matter, and Bourbon War, you know, maybe second or third, Hard Luck, or just was never in it. And people like Ones, I mean, yeah, with a horse like Bourbon War, they know he's susceptible to trip, but there looks to be maybe a lot of pace signed on in the Derby, and Code of Honor fits this a little bit. He had maybe a better pattern, speed figure-wise, than Bourbon War, but either way, I'm kind of viewing this as maybe there isn't a great bet in the moment Saturday. But if Hidden Squirrel does, you know, get loose and just keeps going on with it, I see him as being overvalued. And then the top two from the Fountain of Youth, I think you have a shot to maybe get some value out of them moving forward. And I do agree with James. I think Harvey Wallbanger, I've maligned him myself. And, you know, the Holy Blood, the look of a fluke, and Everfast came back and didn't do much. But I think Harvey Wallbanger is above the horse he beat in the Holy Bull. And if people are totally going to dismiss that form, I could see him providing some value underneath the logicals here.
Excellent. All right. What do you go to next? Your call in.
I'll stick with the three-year-olds and go to the Gulfstream Park Oaks because this is definitely the race I'm most excited to bet. I think Cookie Dough is strong value here with the brown horse and point of entry, both expected to take money. And I saw, I think it was Welsh earlier, but someone reported that Brown is starting his filly here. So that definitely should help us get 7-2 on Cookie Dough. She's the most seasoned of the contenders. I definitely see her as having a pace edge. She took a big step forward in her last, so it was definitely a forward move where maybe regression is possible. But I think it's the third choice in here. We're getting the right price that with her pace edge, she can dictate terms. And if she runs back to that race or even through it, she's absolutely worth 7-2. So she's my play of the day at Gulfstream. I really like Cookie Dough.
James?
I definitely respect Point of Honor in here. I mean, she's a filly that I will use in multi-race bets. But the filly I'm going to pick on top is Champagne Anyone. And I really like to stretch out the two turns for this Street Sense filly. I think she has a chance. If maybe Cookie Dough could catch some pressure from Dunbar Road or somebody else to get the proper setup. And I look back at her. You know, that last race, I mean, her two races, her last two races in a mile and a 16th, she's finishing with a 98 BrisNet late pace number. I think those numbers are real encouraging, and I just think she's a filly that's been waiting to go back to two-turn distance, and I look for her to show a little bit more stretch punch on Saturday.
Very good, James. Pick the next.
All right, well, I'll go to the... I'll go to that Sanibel Island. I know this a bit of special is going to be race number six is the big favorite in there. But I like number four, Bell Lara, for Norm Cassie. I really I love the second time blinkers angle here with this filly off a real good third. I thought in the Here Comes the Bride Stakes, I think she's going to improve upon that effort. I love the jock switch to John Velasquez. And I'm going to bet this filly. I hope to get a decent price with Chad Brown's filly Positive Skew taking money as well as the favorite.
Ed?
I'm going to shift to the Pan American, if that's all right. Bigger picture, I can't imagine we're going to get 6-1, even though the last race was at Sam Houston. But the connections are too strong, and the win was too good, and the forms. Take too much of. Pardon?
Yeah, we lost you for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was waxing poetic on bigger picture. Don't love giving weight. But just think the price will be right with some others figuring to take money. And Village King I thought was interesting for Pletcher. It seems like rounding back into form, and for a trainer who doesn't mind stopping on horses after some wins, I just feel like there's some confidence from the barn with this one to keep going at Gulfstream versus, you know, maybe targets at Keeneland, Churchill, Belmont, et cetera. So just has the look of one maybe rounding back into form. So 3-9 for me in the Pan American.
Well, and certainly looking at a pace scenario, Village King is going to be loose. I mean, I don't see where pressure comes from. So it's as far as he can take him going the 12 panels. What else you like, Ed?
The last thing I'll say is in the Gulfstream Park Mile, obviously Prince Lucky stands really tall. But there is an interesting dynamic with Guy Caballero being the lone sort of second speed. And it might be worth a look at, you know, him to win and then just a cold exact underneath the chalk. I could see them just running 1-2 all the way around. There's clear pace edges with those two. So 4-6, and if Guy is 12-1 like his morning line, I could see playing him straight as well.
James, what else you got?
I'll just say, in that race at Gulfstream Park Mile, I'm intrigued by Be Gone Daddy, and Guy Caballero is key for him because I like a horse like this, this Scad Daddy, 4-year-old gelding, who's coming into form for Marcus Vitale off of with wins in 3 of his last 4 starts. There's a similar situation today, I thought, Steve, in the Appleton Handicap Race 9 today at Gulfstream, where number 2, Dr. Edgar, is stepping up to the stakes level and just freaking, I think, superb form for Barclay Tag. I think that horse could have a little bit of a pace, a potential perfect trip on the front end with Julian Leperu from post 2, 10-1 on the morning line. He's the kind of horse that I'm going to bet at a price with improving form.
Is this the Scully Last Friday horse?
Yeah, this is my Scully Last Friday horse, number 2, Dr. Edgar, in the 9th race today.
Outstanding. Well, guys, enjoy. It should be tomorrow particularly. This should be crazy. And I would say with the Aqueduct carryovers today and with Santa Anita resuming, 3 stakes at Gulfstream, et cetera, then into Dubai Saturday morning, then to Gulfstream, then to Santa Anita. This is about a 36-hour marathon. So pace yourselves.
Yeah, well, and tonight, while you're handicapping tomorrow, we're finishing up. There's a pick 5 carryover at Turfway as well, 19,000.
Very nice. And, of course, there's some. You got any basketball pushes today?
Ask James. He lit it up yesterday, 3-for-3.
Good job.
Yeah, 3-for-3 with dogs yesterday. I'm going to take North Carolina. I think they got the best chance to win it. I'm going to lay the points against Auburn. I think Auburn's going to run out of steam against their win.
Well, and I haven't even mentioned it all week, but one of the great angles in the NCAAs that I've been touting for years, as long as we've discussed the NCAAs, the Patriot League winner taking the points, and this time it was Colgate, and they played so well. It was unbelievable.
Great game against Tennessee in that opening round,
When they took that lead, I thought this could happen, and to do it without the Patriot League Player of the Year. I don't know how they could have played better even with Rapp in there, but I was so delighted. And in fact, Coach Matt Langel yesterday got his second 5-year extension, and now it will be a Colgate at least through 2027. So that was great, and we got the 220 players in the At the Races League, and we'll give everybody the update on Monday. Guys, thanks a lot. Have a great weekend. We'll talk next week.
Yeah, all right, thanks. Good luck, Steve.
Thanks, fellas. always fun. Case, we'll stay right here. We've got Quigley and Mike Welsh. So let's get Quigley in for a quick hit, and then we'll close out the morning with Mike Welsh. And I want to take the time while we got a minute here, I guess it was Ed, right, that wants to use a little Harvey Wallbanger underneath. If you haven't been to ExpressBet, go over and download the Florida Derby and Florida Derby Day betting guide. And also Johnny's analysis is up. I'll put a link up to it. Johnny likes Harvey Wallbanger and as a win candidate. Johnny reached for the price. So I'm trying to pull it up here quickly, and I'm having why is it that wherever you go, there's like a signal that just interferes with whatever Wi-Fi you're using. You're locked on, and then every so often, here it's Xfinity comes marauding in. Back home, it's, I don't know, Vios or whatever. Wherever you go, it like knocks you off your signal. So I'll get you Johnny's analysis, but virtually all the ExpressBet pundits are surveyed, and there's also analysis of the other stakes too. So really nice guide put together by Jeremy and Johnny. Happy to be able to hear the voice of Tom Quigley that has been muted for a month, and everyone knows why. And Tom, so happy that you can get back to work. You and everybody at Santa Anita that has been just stoic getting through this situation.
Steve, thanks for the kind words. I'm very happy, obviously, to be back with you. 26 calendar days, in case you're counting. Sunday, March 3rd was the last day of live racing. Of course, today, March 29th. Good 8 race card, then 10 races on Saturday, 9 races on Sunday. Sunday's card, haven't really taken a good in-depth look at it, but the field sizes are tremendous, which you would expect with the horses being in the barn, not being able to race. So perhaps we can make lemonade out of lemonades. That's the whole idea.
Well, in fact, I already mentioned at the top of the show about the reopening card here, and just so happened that we talked to both Jim Cassidy and Peter Ertin during the week, the San Luis Rey, and they're pitted in there with a few others. Spar has got a pair in the San Luis Rey today. I directed people as well, Tom, to the fifth race today, and Baffert with this raffle, the 7, the Alpha Colt, looks like he's going to end up going favored, and certainly has had some favorable work notes. I pointed out Michael Stinson's Nesbitt, homebred for Mr. Stinson, and is working like a champ at Los Al. And you don't name a horse Gate Speed by accident, so I'm going to guess that Bill Maury's Gate Speed is okay.
Steve, it's funny you would say that, because if you have the past performances in front of you, which I'm sure you do, you can see Gate Speed's last work was out of the gate, and it was a bullet work, 59 and change to be precise. Bullet work, best out of 60 on that particular day. Gets Martin Pedroza. The Pedroza-Maury tandem, it kind of is very productive, somewhat silently. They don't really team up a lot. Bill Maury likes to use a lot of apprentice jocks, but Martin Pedroza, tough as a $2 stake. He's been involved in a lot of spills himself, but he always seems to bounce back, and he's had a relatively slow meet up to this point. Just 10% winners, but like you mentioned, not only is Gate Speed obviously pretty quick, but the Baffert runner sure seems to be getting some very favorable workouts from Clocker Andy Harrington. You would expect it to be coming from the Baffert barn, but interesting to note that Rafael, as you mentioned, Steve, is a New York bred. You don't see many New York breds on the Southern California circuit, but it looks like Baffert has his hands on another runner. And don't fall asleep on the outside runner from the Ron Ellis barn, Belef. Aaron Greider has had a fantastic meet up to this point.
Yeah.
Don't like the fact that he doesn't use Lasix, but Harrington had some favorable comments for him as well. Drew the good outside post, a son of Medaglia d'Oro. So all of these are obviously first-time starters. It makes the Rainbow Pick 6 a little bit difficult. But, you know, XBTV.com has a great resource that's somewhat unique to Santa Anita. You can put in a horse's name absolutely free of charge and see the works for yourself. So I've often commented that the Southern California racing circuit seems to be the most overanalyzed from a workout standpoint, but If you'd rather either not pay the money or not listen to anybody else's opinion, you can go to xbtv.com absolutely free of charge, put in a horse's name, and watch the workout for yourself.
And before we move off of Friday's card, we should note for everybody, because I brought it up earlier in the week, that in the eighth today, the number 10, Doug O'Neill, sends out Mr. Classical, and it's the return of Martin Garcia. And then Martin comes back on Sunday in the San Simeon on Air Vice Marshal. So Doug O'Neill getting some horses into the hands of Martin Garcia. It's good to have him back in the entries.
And, Steve, just one other kind of a subtle note that maybe some of your listeners don't know. Martin Garcia's new agent is a gentleman by the name of Tom Knutz. Tom Knutz used to be the agent for Mario Gutierrez. They parted ways, but Tom Knutz and Doug O'Neill are very, very, very good friends. So I'm sure the O'Neill barn, with the two runners you just mentioned, both of whom reside in the O'Neill barn, I'm sure O'Neill is going to try and jumpstart Martin Garcia's comeback. So I think he's live in today's last race, and I also think he's live on Air Vice Marshal.
There you go, folks, and that's why we have these conversations. Let's turn our attention to Saturday. You know, next Saturday is going to be enormous and oversized with Big Cap and the Santa Anita Derby. And out of curiosity, I'm sure somebody's already answered this. Have they ever been run on the same day before?
You know, John White would be the perfect person to answer that because he's obviously a racing historian, but I'll go off of memory, and I've been out here about 35 years. I know it hasn't been done during that time period, and I would highly doubt that it has ever been done. So somewhat of a first, and again, trying to make lemonade out of lemons, and as we get back on the beam with live racing, Steve, I'd be remiss in not mentioning next Saturday and Sunday we have a couple of live money tournaments that you can either play on track at San Anita or online at expressbet.com. The Saturday tournament, which will obviously get a lot of support, is a $3,000 live money tournament. Considering the card we're going to have, I expect a lot of players to participate in that. And then Sunday's that tournament, another one-day tournament, is just a $500 buy-in. But, of course, seats to the Breeders' Cup Betting Challenge, the NHC, the Pegasus World Cup, all of those will be available in terms of prizes. So if you get interested in next weekend's card, either Saturday or Sunday, make sure you check out those contests as well.
Excellent. I'm glad because you had to cancel the Ultimate Betting Challenge. So this... you got plenty of opportunity yet as we get going again. Let's look at tomorrow. Talk about the grade ones, the Kilroe and the Beholder Mile.
You know, Steve, it's interesting. I was down at the Pegasus World Cup for the Pegasus World Cup turf and dirt races. And, you know, you didn't need to be down there to know that it was literally a monsoon. And as you recall, some of the turf sprint races were taken off the turf and put on the main track, much to the chagrin of trainer Peter Miller. But, you know, the turf course was a bog, and I think you have to draw a line through Catapult's last race. He's trained by John Sadler. You know, he made somewhat of what some would maybe consider to be a premature move going down the backside. Maybe Rosario was forced to do that, but it certainly cost him some punch late. And he still ran very, very credibly to Bricks and Mortar, who came back and won desperately, granted, at the fairgrounds in his next race. But nevertheless, I think that was a very strong feel, and I think Catapult, if you go back and look at his race two back, in the Breeders' Cup Mile, certainly fits in here as well. But that's to take nothing away from River Boyne. But River Boyne's a bit of an anomaly because he was brilliant. He loves this turf course. He was brilliant against his own age group. But he just has that most recent race against Older, and he kind of threw in a dud now because Flavian's overseas at the Dubai races. Bayrano's going to get them out. So River Boyne has a lot of talent, but was he just beating up against a bunch of tomato cans within his own age group division? Or actually, is he able to maybe bring forth that talent that he displayed against this older group? But if gun to my head, I would make Catapult the horse to beat in this particular race.
Very good. How about the girls?
The girls and the Beholder. And anytime you talk about the Beholder, it puts a smile on your face, right? Because what a brilliant mare she was. It's good to see now that she's producing babies. And, you know, this to me is a more interesting betting race because I don't think you can really focus in and narrow it down to one horse. Marley's Freedom, no doubt, is John White's morning line favorite and the horse to beat. But, you know, he ran one turn at Aqueduct. He ran one turn going 7 furlongs in the Santa Monica. She was brilliant both of those times. But this is really the first time she's going to go 2 turns. And I've loved her for a long, long time. I thought ever since she came into the Baffert barn after being transferred out of the Hess barn, I thought she was the filly to beat in the Breeders' Cup filly and mare sprint. She kind of threw in a clunker that day. But can she get 2 turns? And so if you're perhaps skeptical that she can, then that makes the race a little bit more wide open. It looks like there's some speed in the race. You know, a mare to maybe take a closer look at is Mopetism on the outside. She's danced a lot of dances. She's the second highest career earner in the field, but she's going to get pace to run at. And last time when she finished that third to Marley's Freedom, that wasn't a bad effort. It was her first race since December. We know that she likes two turns, but you can make a case for a lot of others in here. Selkirk maybe could get loose early if Marley's Freedom doesn't pressure her. Secret Spice is a very, very talented filly from the Richie Baltus barn. So to me, this is a much more interesting race from a betting standpoint than the Kilroy Mile.
Give us your take on the San Carlos and the Santa Ana. Certainly, you know, the sprinters in the San Carlos were familiar with quite a few players in here. Baffert loaded up with three, and Kanthaka, nice to see him back in the entry box. The good Jimmy Creed. You've got Solid Wager for Peter Miller, who, of course, sends out horses tomorrow morning, too, at Dubai.
Baffert's won this rendition of the San Carlos the last 2 years, so he's going for the hat trick this particular year. And as you mentioned, Stevie's got three in the race. But, of course, the marquee horse from his barn is Axeman. I do think he's the horse to beat, but as you mentioned, Kanthaka kind of takes a slight drop down in class. I don't think that the runners in here are quite nearly as talented as the Roy H., who unfortunately had to scratch from the Dubai sprint race tomorrow. But Roy H. obviously is the king of the sprint division, in my opinion. But I think it comes down to those two inside runners. Going seven furlongs, those inside two posts can sometimes be tricky, but from a class standpoint, I think they lay over the field.
The Santa Ana, you got downhill for fillies and mares, and there's some interesting decisions to make in here, and you got some horses, quite a few, that are cutting back, and that's usually the thing we like to do, but there's going to be a bunch of them doing it. Does that give a chance for somebody to maybe control it from the front end, even a crazy price like Stradella Road?
You make a good point, Steve. You talked about this race starting on the hillside turf course, and keep in mind today, San Luis Rey starts a little bit farther back, also coming down the hillside turf course. So good to see these long-distance turf races, one for the boys today and one for the fillies and mares tomorrow, back into play. So again, not having raced for the last 3 to 4 weeks allows us to present these multiple graded races on almost a daily basis. You know, an interesting horse in here for me, Steve, is number 5, India Mantuana. Claimed by Tom Bell off trainer Phil D'Amato. Automatically, if you follow Southern California Racing, you would perhaps think as a handicapper that that's a barn upgrade. But one thing we know, and you mentioned this, is that she might be able to steal the race on the front end. She's only got one way to go, and a lot of players are going to be turned off by her last running line. But that, I can excuse that because it came against the boys, so she really had no shot breaking from an outside post, post 11 out of a 13-runner field. So India Mantuana certainly is dangerous. DeSormo gets on for the first time for trainer Tommy Bell. I'll be rooting for him, but there's, like you said, the contention runs deep. The mare drawn right outside of her, Eliza's World, has a lot of ability. Second time in the Richie Baltus barn. We've seen this time and time again. Automatically, again, a lot of players around the country would discount the barn change from Chad Brown to Richie Baltus. But he's had a number of runners basically perform this transition and not only improve during this transition, but improve from race to race. Baltus is a guy that it doesn't take him very long to figure out horses. There's a few examples on today's card to give you an idea of how quickly he can transform horses, whether they're new acquisitions in his barn or relatively fresh off the claim. But Eliza's World, I expect to improve as well, and she's not going to have to improve that much in order to hit the winner's circle here.
Well, you've got, for those that are going to play the late pick 4, you've got an allowance in the 8th with some hard hitters. You've got the 10th, the nightcap is coming down the hill, and you got some lightly raced horses that look okay. I have not done the pedigree work and such on those, but who's your guest tomorrow for Paddock Show?
Yeah, 11:50 a.m. Pacific time. It always starts 70 minutes before our first post, and we seem to be on a regular post-time schedule now, which the horse players will be happy about as well, at least for this weekend, and I expect it to continue moving forward since we now have extra daylight. 1 o'clock p.m. Pacific time will be first post Friday, Saturday, and Sunday this weekend, as I mentioned, with perhaps the exception of Derby Day next Saturday. I expect that first post time to remain consistent. Guest will be Aaron Greider. Aaron Greider, obviously a jockey who I mentioned earlier, has had a bit of a resurgence here. I wanted to get him on because, you know, everybody seems to be an expert as you follow social media, but there's very few people who have ridden the main track, not only, you know, from a race standpoint, but also from a workout standpoint. Horses have been working out over the Santita main track for quite some time, even though we haven't had live racing. So I want to get his opinion on what he thinks perhaps some of the problems were, whether the problems have been rectified. So he's a person that has that type of hands-on experience. That's why I'm going to have him as my seminar guest tomorrow at 11:50 a.m. Pacific time.
Well, and very well-spoken, and one of the great modern Jewish jockeys out there. That
and Steve, it's 10-year anniversary tomorrow of his victory in the Dubai World Cup.
How about that? Well-armed. I love it. I invoked well-armed the yesterday about the speed. You know, the way that was over. Was that the first year of Maidan, or was or the last year at Nat El Sheba?
That's a good question. I'd have to go back and look at the history books, but it was certainly right within that time frame. But obviously, Aaron's biggest accomplishment to date, we always talk about it. It puts a smile on his face, and we'll show the replay of that race, because that horse on that particular evening in Dubai was absolutely brilliant.
I love it. And, Tom, I appreciate it. We'll be there starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday broadcasts from Clocker's Corner. And so that means an in-person visit.
There's a seat waiting for you in Eddie Logan, Steve.
I appreciate it a lot. And, of course, the concierge, VIP concierge at Santa Anita, Tom Quigley. Quigley's _ corner on Twitter. We're going to stay right here. We got 20 minutes to close out this busy weekend preview. Mike Welch standing by, and between the Florida Derby Day card and all the stakes and the force out of the Rainbow Six, certainly a big culmination to the winter season. Mike, good morning.
Good morning, Steve.
Mike, let's dive into this. And, of course, the workout report will be invaluable, particularly when we start this pick six sequence with those maidens. What do you like in this group?
Well, you caught me off guard. I'm going to have to go see. I'm working on Sunday, so...
That's the one with Social Paranoia coming back, and Chad's got Machine Learning, and I thought that...
Yeah, you know, I thought there was some good question marks there around the first-time starters. I thought Machine Learning, no, not much that we know about this horse being at Payson, so from a workout report, Stan don't really have much there. And also Scattered Strikes looks like has some family, has been working okay. Post for both of them, a little bit drawn outside. Now, this is a tough first leg. I mean, those two are kind of mysteries. It's you're damned if you leave them out. You're damned if you use them and they turn out to be just not much. It's hard to say, but I think you really have to include those. And then there's several others that have run that look like they're sitting on good races. So. The first leg, yeah, it looks like got to start out with a spread.
I think it's okay in this case to not be shy about using as many as you seem to like, because there are a couple of places, maybe more than a couple, Mike, where people can make stands. And I mean, there's going to be plenty of people on a budget that are going to want a single Hidden Scroll. There's going to be people I said earlier that are going to lean on Focus Group and maybe the Delacour. So I agree. I think it's okay if you go 6, 7, 8 deep here. I want to mention two horses, and I highlighted, and so now I'm having trouble seeing. Blameless, this is a Michael Matz special right here, and is going to be a monster price. And make sure you look at this horse moving to the turf, second career start, and there aren't necessarily any formulator stats that are jump off the page, except that the family and the fact that Blameless has some license on the grass stretch out. The dam was, in fact, you might remember, Dancing to Town, a stake winner going long on the grass. So I think Blameless is very sneaky in here, and so is Kevin Attard with the Stronach homebred Mayan Ghost 12-1. I'm using both of them, Mike.
Yeah, well, if you're using them, you must be using them all, because, you know, those are, you are taking a reach there for sure. But you'll be rewarded if you get lucky and click with one of those. But there's a lot of ways to go in that race, and I agree with you. There probably are some races where you could take a little stand, but you know, those stands aren't rock solid. I mean, you know, Hidden Scroll, okay. I mean, you know, probably the most logical one in there, but, you know, a lot of questions to answer. A lot of things got to go the right way there. Even if you think he's the most talented horse, he's going to have to stay out of a speed duel, break him from the rail, and then prove that he could pass horses and go a mile and an eighth. So there's a lot of questions there for us. Probably going to be 7-5 or 8-5 again, you know, in somewhere in that area.
Well, since it came up, let's go to the nightcap, and then we'll move back through the other four races. Hidden Scroll draws inside. Mott has spent the time since the Fountain of Youth trying to give him some education, getting him behind horses, and trying to, you know, broaden his horizons. And then they draw the one hole. so that's the challenge. We talked to Todd Pletcher the other morning when he threw the current curveball that he was going ahead and running him here. Take us through, Mike, and I mean, who are your win candidates?
Well, I mean, Hidden Scroll for sure. I mean, I'm tossing Harvey Wallbanger in only because his last work was really, really good, and it looks like, you know, you want a horse that's coming in sharp, and of all the horses that I've seen Breeze, or whether on tape or in person, that might be as good a breeze as any of them. And he did the right thing, Kenny. He gave him the time off to mature and get bigger. I thought he's been second best to Signal Man a couple of times in the morning, but last week was a good work. So if you're looking for a price, I mean, I'm throwing him in, let's say. Bourbon War, you got to use him, obviously. He's probably going to be a bit of a wise guy horse. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes post-foot less than his 7-2 morning line. He was my pick last time, and he ran second. He just hasn't trained as well coming out of the race, coming into this one, as he did going into the Fountain of Youth. It may mean nothing. It may mean nothing. Look, he's talented. He's moving in the right direction. I know Mark has kind of said he's backed off a little bit in the morning. He doesn't want to squeeze the lemon too much here because he wants to be able to squeeze it a lot more on Derby Day. So it's a fine line, and we've discussed that before on, you know, horses coming into the Florida Derby. You want to win this $1 million pot, but you don't want to, you know, ring your horse out where you don't have enough left for the big one, the Kentucky Derby. In this case, you have the extra week, which is why so many guys like to run in the Florida Derby, because it does give you that extra the fifth week if you do have a tough race. So, again, another horse you have to use. I don't know what to make of Maximum Security, to tell you the truth. If Hart Bell wasn't in here, and I'm pretty confident this horse is going to be loose and cruising on the lead because they're going to take Hidden Scroll back and try to avoid the same kind of, you know, situation that happened last time. And he got loose, I suppose. You know, there's no reason to believe he can't win. But he's probably going to get some pace pressure from Hart Bell, or he's going to have to sit off and, again, make a run from off the pace. He's past the proving. A lot of questions. He has to prove he can get the mile and an eighth. It's Jason Service, so nothing would surprise me here. And, you know, Jason, like I wrote, he's not sure what to expect. Fourth, last, could win. A lot will depend on the run to the first turn. Code of Honor would be the other one, obviously, you have to use. I was between him and Hidden Scroll for my top pick. Post 9 could lead you to a little bit of problems getting into the first turn. You know, getting set up, maybe getting shuffled back a little further than you want to be. But he looked fine training the other day. I see no reason why he shouldn't run as well or move forward. So, you know, those are the ones I think you got to use. And again, the trip will be real important here, and that run to the first turn, where Hidden Scroll will be, where Maximum Security will be, and what kind of position the closers are going to get into.
Quick thought about Union's Destiny, who Jay Pribman mentioned as a toss-in underneath for some exotic boost, and I happen to agree. He could be useful in here for your super players.
Yeah, I mean, look, he had a horrible trip from a horrible post in the Fountain of Youth. Got a bad post again, I mean, being parked out there. going to have a different rider. You know, Jaramillo obviously is in Dubai. Again, the run to the first turn will be significant, but this is a horse that is improving. And, you know, looks like the distance might be okay for him. I don't see him as a win factor, but for those, you know, making those big exotic plays, why not toss him in?
There you go. All right, let's take a look back to the second leg of the force out. And, of course, there'll be another force out on Sunday, which is the official end of the season. No guarantee.
Right, it'll be with a zero. Yeah, there'll be no carryover.
Right.
But they're going to bet $100,000 into that, I'm sure.
Sure they will.
Be a good payday there somewhere.
All right, talk about the second leg, and this is a conditional 7 furlong for the boys. And I have this race. I don't see that I marked. Did I mark anything down? What did I do? No. Yes, I did.
No, the second leg is the.
That's today. I'm sorry. That got mixed in. The 10th. Yes. Yeah. There you go. The 10th is the Sand Springs with some Fire Key and Valedictorian. And then the two horses outside, both in Dina Del Sur and Proctor's Ledge, talking about being outposted.
Yeah, I mean, Proctor's Ledge is definitely the horse to beat in here. And it's just a matter of first time out off the layoff, you know, how's she going to respond? It seems like she's been training really well up there. I mean, she can run well fresh. I mean, last year she was off from October 14th, so she came back into Hillsboro and got beat ahead. Over there off that long layoff. So obviously Brendan Walsh can have her ready off the bench. I think I made her my best bet, to tell you the truth, on a card where I really didn't have a best bet, you know. So I like her chances. You get Johnny V obviously back on board. I just think she's the best horse in here if she runs her race.
The third leg. Now there's the race I that was mixed in, and this is a 7 furlong allowance, and got a familiar name in Restoring Hope, going back to last year's Belmont, and then how about Articulator? Maybe a little Rock Doc, and I had So Long Chuck with my four.
Yeah, I mean there's a lot of options in here. I took Restoring Hope, first time for Jason Service. You know, his intentions in races like the Belmont, you know, and then he caught the slop in the Pat Day Mile. This horse showed a lot of talent earlier in the year. Works, you know, hard to tell because it's Jason Service. It's not easy to get a line on his horses off of workouts, but the reports seem to be favorable. To me, it's in Jason We Trust. I think this horse could be ready for a huge effort off the bench again for Gary and Mary West. If not, a lot of options, a lot of ways to go here. Articulator, first time gelding, won the catch, fast horse, going to guess the track is going to be favoring those kind of horses tomorrow. Probably should be on the lead. So those are my top two picks there, Restoring Open. Articulator. I can't quite understand why they put the Gospel of John in here. The source is very talented, training extremely well. Why you throw her in?
She was cross-entered the other day, but then she. So okay, I got it.
She was a Matrec only the other day.
Yeah, that's what I mean. There we go. 12th and 13th. What are we doing?
Taking a lot of horses. I mean, I just don't see any standouts in here. You know, these kind of races that. The trip is kind of could be everything again. I don't see anywhere to take a real stand in these two races. I took Space Mountain and Second Mate in the 12th race.
Okay.
Focus Group. I like Focus Group. Yeah, you know, I can see anyone that would maybe want to single there, but I think I would use Canisar also. Didn't get the best of trips last time, and I just think this horse is pretty talented, hasn't won, though, has a little hang in him, hasn't won since that first start in the States back in 2017 at Laurel, so that has to concern you a little bit. But the Focus Group looks like he's on top of his game right now. Big race in the Canadian International, the time off, obviously, for this barn doesn't do one bit. So that's my top choice there.
I talked to Village King a little bit ago, back in this spot, and there's not a lot of pace pressure, Mike. How far can he take him? Did we lose? He was
long enough.
Oh, there we go. We lost it for a minute, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, he was my third pick because of the pace situation.
Okay.
I mean, he's going to have to move forward, I think, from a numbers standpoint. Sometimes the pace is a great equalizer, and if he can lope along there long enough for Johnny V, I mean, why not? I would certainly trust him if you have the budget to do so.
And Mike, the workout report, how early tomorrow or later this afternoon?
Working on it now. It's pretty extensive. I got some other things I got to prioritize, though, first to get out of the way for earlier today. Hopefully we'll have it by late afternoon today.
4:30, 5 o'clock, give or take.
I hope so. Yeah, depending on how the editing process goes once it gets to the office.
Let me just ask you, too. We got about a minute, and the card today, they ended up carding these other stakes for today, and I was a little, I don't know why. They're really good, actually. You got anything?
Well, I think it's a good idea. You know, I mean, at some point, you reach a saturation point on these cards where you have just too many stakes in one day, and some of them lose, you know, get lost in the shuffle, and I think it's good to have a card like this today. I wish they had carded a couple on Sunday, too, in order to add a little spice to the closing day card.
Yeah.
Where there is none, to tell you the truth, and they struggle to fill it. I mean, you know, you could have saved one of those, two of those stakes tomorrow, not lost anything off of that card, really. And, you know, with the Rainbow Six and the Florida Derby, what more do you need there? And have to save something for Sunday. But they do have three stakes today. Two of them are graded stakes. The Appleton, and the Orchid have been around forever and have produced some serious winners in the past. I mean, Hawkish, it's good to see him back. I mean, we'll see if he needs a race or not. Seems like he's training okay. For a price, I like Dr. Edgar a little bit in there. He's 10-1 on the morning line. I'm not sure whether that's going to hold up. And the Orchid, it obviously seems like Santa Monica's race to lose. She did get beat last time, but, I'd have to give her a mulligan for that and go back with this field and go back to her again.
I saw you picked against Rocketry in the marathon.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not his distance. I mean, in the skip away, I mean.
The skip away.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not his distance. It's been away. His workout report just seems to be average. There's not a lot of pace. So there's good reason to believe that he could be vulnerable there coming back first time. His game is really three turns, and this is short of what he really wants to do. So I just thought at the price, it was worth taking a shot at some, look for a little value in there.
I love it. Mike, as always, appreciative. Great season this winter. And we'll see you. We'll see you soon, but we'll talk to you on the radio next at Churchill Downs.
Yeah, we could have some pretty significant amount of Derby contenders hanging around here. So,
oh, good.
Depending upon depending on how things go on Saturday. I mean, Todd's got a few in the mix now, and obviously Mott will probably hang around and Shug up there at Basin Park. Those guys like to, stay back here if they're still in the in that hunt. So, we could have some significant reports coming out of here before we get to Kentucky as well.
Well done, Mike Welch, everybody. DRF Welch. And the Florida Derby day and closing, not closing weekend, but the end of the winter season. Marcus Hirsch, Jay Privman, Mike Welch, obviously. Scully and DeRosa, Quigley, Hammer, and Nick Tamaro. Thanks, everybody. One push for early on the card. The two in the third tomorrow. Donegal Aces from Danny Gargan. Firster, I think I like. Talk to you Monday.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There are places where being who you are is a punishable offense. These places have many names, but the ones who flee have one. Refugee. and it is in the name of the refugee that Hyas has dedicated itself for the last 130 years. Created in the name of the Jewish people, 4.5